Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Sydney McElroy.
And I'm your other co-host, Riley Smurl.
So you may have noticed, this isn't Justin.
Sorry.
Again. You don't have to say you're sorry. They like me better anyway.
Well, they like me better.
That's fair. They do like you better. So as you may be aware, it was probably by the time you're listening to this, National Podcast Day.
Woohoo!
A very important holiday for those of us who in part make our living podcasting. And of course, because it is America's, I would say, biggest holiday?
Biggest holiday. Bigger than Christmas, bigger than Labor Day.
the two big ones, Christmas and Labor Day, only bigger, only topped by National Podcast Day. And as a result, of course, all the youth of America are assigned to a podcaster. You should know about this. Your kids were assigned to a podcaster to learn from, to shadow, mm-hmm. take your podcast protege to work day, so to speak.
Because that's what we're all being taught how to do now, I guess, is just be podcasters.
Listen, if you're not, it's a cool gig. It's a ton of fun.
I'm wearing my PJs, drinking some hot chocolate. And we're just talking about medicine.
It's great. It's great. And there are all kinds of awesome people who listen to your show. Anyway, well, I will later, when we're not recording a show, I'll tell Riley about how wonderful the life of a podcaster is.
As if I haven't heard enough about it already.
I've been trying to talk her out of being an actual doctor and just talking about doctory things on a podcast instead.
And calling myself a doctor. Like, hey, I'm the doctor. Listen to this.
The only thing better than that would be just to, like, be Doc McStuffins, if you can swing that.
I mean, I'm not a cartoon character, and I don't take care of animals. And this isn't Disney Junior.
Close enough. So, Riley was lucky enough, I think lucky enough, to be assigned to me on National Podcast, you don't think?
I mean, I was kind of forced into being assigned to you.
I think it's an honor and a privilege. You weren't cool enough, I guess, to be assigned to WTF with Marc Maron. And you weren't strange enough to be assigned to Night Vale.
That was the one I was really aiming for. Either Night Vale or Mabim Bam. Apparently, hey. I wasn't brother enough to get into Mabim Bam, Mabim and I wasn't Bam. Weird enough to get into Night Vale.
Listen, what you should have done, if you'd had more foresight, you should have just gotten into cereal, because that's really where the money is going to go. So anyway, I'll quit naming podcasts that teen girls don't listen to. So no, Riley got stuck with me. So she's here in place of Justin, who, I don't know, he's somewhere else.
I would say I'm sorry, but I know you like me better, so you're welcome.
He's too busy. I'm assuming that someone has been assigned to shadow him. Oh, gosh.
And probably the boys? Someone really weird. Yeah. So he got the bad end of the deal because Sydney got me.
I bet there was a huge line, though, for people who wanted to shadow Adventure Zone.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I was on that list, too, but this is like my fifth choice.
Thanks. Good. Great. So since you're here, shadowing me reluctantly, I thought that I would let you pick, you know, our topic. What do you want me to teach you about with all of my podcasting and medical wisdom?
So, Sydney, since just a few hours here, probably it has been when everyone's listening to this, things are going to start getting spooky. It's going to be October.
That's right.
Months of spooks and scares and haunted houses and candy. So tell me all about the Halloween diseases.
The Halloween diseases?
You know, the ones you can only get on Halloween. The ones that are all about being spoopy and being scary, and you can only get them on October 31st.
I don't... Who told you that there were Halloween diseases?
We learned all about them in podcasting school.
Is that what Mom told you would happen if you ate all your candy on Halloween?
Maybe.
Is Halloween disease the thing where you are afraid of your neighbor putting a razor blade in your apple?
No, Halloween disease is the one where it's like I turn into a vampire or I turn into a werewolf.
Oh.
Or like everyone thinks I'm a witch.
I gotcha. Okay. So just to clarify, do you actually believe that there is a medical condition that will turn you into a werewolf?
Sydney, that's why I asked you the question.
Okay. You don't know. Okay. So I just need to fill in this gap in your knowledge.
I'm like 90% sure there's a disease that you get that turns you into a werewolf, that you only turn into a werewolf when there is a full moon. You cannot control yourself.
And like all teenage girls, I'm assuming that you desperately hope there is a disease that turns you into a vampire, because there are just so many cool teen vampires out there.
Because then someone like John Green would write a novel about me.
Did he write a vampire novel?
Teen Girl Vampire number 4.
I didn't know he wrote about vampires too. Everybody writes
about everything.
Everybody writes, yeah. Everything teen girls love. Well, Riley, I don't know that I can grant your wish and tell you that there are actual causes of like real life werewolves and vampires and whatnot. But throughout history, we have had a lot of diseases that have kind of that have probably contributed to like these myths, to what we think of as vampires and werewolves and witches. So I think maybe that would that like.
I mean, I don't appreciate you calling them myths, because they're actual, factual, everything is satisfactual Halloween diseases.
Well, let's just go through. We'll go through these. I think this will slake your thirst for bloody diseases.
For blood, because I also have vampire disease.
Okay.
Happy Halloween!
Do you sparkle in the sunlight?
Don't tell anybody.
Okay. That's cool. So there are a lot of these myths of different, we're gonna mainly talk about werewolves and vampires, and I'm going to talk a little bit about witches, but these myths have been perpetuated throughout the years by, I don't know, we don't really know, right? Like, this is all just like medical historians and people looking back and going, why do we think there are werewolves? Perhaps it was because we didn't understand this. So these are the most common theories as to why we think these kinds of things exist. And it's usually diseases or disorders that have a lot of kind of unusual or just different, like a lot of different systems of the body might be affected by one thing, and something that we may not have easily been able to understand hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Right, because everyone was talking about the hip new Halloween diseases. It was the first time anyone had ever talked about them, so everyone thought they were real. And now you're crushing their dreams back in, you know, the 16th century.
These time-traveling people from the 16th
They're
century.
They're listening to our podcast right now, Sydney, and you're making them really sad. It's October, the spoopiest month of the whole year, and you're making them sad.
I appreciate that. I think you're saying spoopy, and I'm gonna insist that you continue saying that.
That's what the word is. It's spoopy. S-P-O-O-P-Y. Spoopy.
So our first spoopy disease... is lycanthropy. Lycanthropy is also the word that you could use to just refer to like the idea of a werewolf, like lichen referring to like wolves, and like just the cons. Like you could say like in a world where there really are werewolves, lycanthropy.
In this
is like,
world,
right? In the of course, in the real world where there are werewolves, lycanthropy is like the existence of the fact that there are werewolves. But it is also in reference to a psychiatric disorder, which is basically the delusion that you are like a wolf.
Doesn't everyone get that around Halloween?
Do you believe you're a wolf?
Don't you?
No.
Oh, oh, oh. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
Lycanthropy is, it's related, it can be like part of another psychotic disorder, something like schizophrenia, or it can be just a fixed delusion all unto itself that you think you're some kind of beast or animal or creature, and then most famously would be a wolf just in this context, but I mean it doesn't have to be a wolf, it could be any kind of animal.
Right.
One of the most famous cases that I read about was from 1589, so this is like, and that's why I think this probably perpetuated the werewolf myth, because it's been written about for a really long time. And it's pretty simple to understand why somebody would be confused, because if you have this delusion, then you would go up to someone and say, "Hi, did you know I'm a werewolf?"
I do that every day. I'll get to a random person in the hallway at school. "Hey, did you know I'm a werewolf? Great. Bye."
How many of those people do you think, like percentage wise, do you think believe you?
Pretty sure about 92%.
You know,
the other 8% just kind of go, "Well, third time I've heard that today. Just going to keep walking."
That's just what high school is like now. I would say that in 1589, if you started telling people that you're a werewolf, you may have had a lot of people, maybe 100% of people who actually, even if they didn't believe you, on some level went, "Well, maybe. I don't know. Possibly."
I mean, yeah. Aren't we all?
Perhaps you are. So he in his delusion claimed that he had a belt made of wolf skin that if he wore would then turn him into a wolf.
Sydney, I have one question about this whole thing, and it is, where can I get that belt?
Well, I think you have to go to Germany.
Can I get it on eBay?
You can get everything on eBay, right?
Find me this belt right now.
Look up Peter Stubbs wolfskin belt, magical wolfskin belt, as soon as we're done. But he also claimed, in addition to having this belt, he also claimed that he had killed and eaten like 25 people. Now, the sad part, so this is the sad part, so this isn't funny here. The sad part of this is that, I mean, he probably hadn't, right? Like, well, this was probably part of his delusion, is that he probably never did anything wrong. But this was a time before, unfortunately, we didn't understand this kind of thing. So, he was tortured until he confessed to all of these probably fictional crimes that he'd committed. He was then beheaded and burned at the stake on Halloween.
On Halloween?
On Halloween in 1589.
The spoopiest of all spoopy.
Which sounds like this sounds like the beginning of a really scary movie, by the way. I bet it is. This would be a great
horror day Halloween spoopy extravaganza,
but a really sad story, and highlights, you know, a lot of people, Riley, you probably don't know this, a lot of people ask us on the show to talk about mental illness and psychiatric diseases, and we don't very often because a lot of it gets to, it's kind of sad, and it's like we like to be funny and light, and we, you know, like to poke fun at things, and this of course was, it's a very sad thing because this guy probably had a psychiatric disease and it wasn't recognized. And you see a lot of that, like people who had these kinds of delusions, and especially in the context of like that was something people were afraid of. So that may be the way your delusion manifested, something like you're a werewolf or you were a witch. Then because people didn't have a good understanding of mental illness, then you would have been persecuted as such. And there were actually, you know, you've probably heard about like witches being burned at the stake throughout history.
Yeah.
Do you know a lot of people were for being werewolves?
Really?
Yes. Same idea though. They were, I mean, they weren't werewolves. They were just people who had some sort of illness that led them to look or act or think or believe they were a werewolf.
But Sydney, what if they were? What if they were actually werewolves? These people back in the 16th century had cracked the case. They figured it out, but no one believed them because it was the 16th century. And now we're just totally blind to the fact that werewolves do exist.
I feel like there's probably like a whole internet group who would agree with you on this.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm the leader of this internet group.
Oh, okay. another cause of some unusual behavior throughout history is ergot poisoning. Now, this ergot is a fungus. And it grows on grain, and especially like if grains are like, you know, if you harvested a bunch of grain and like put it in a big pile in a silo or whatever, mm-hmm. and then it got damp, that is a perfect setup for growing this fungus. And the problem is that people didn't understand this, so they would use this grain to make bread, and they would eat it.
Well, that's not good.
No, because now you are eating this ergot. The Greeks actually understood that there was something special about it, because they would like, there were some ceremonies where they would advise you drink a little bit of it before you go visit certain temples.
So the Greek people told you, hey, drink this mushroom, you're gonna feel great before you go to church.
More or less, that's what it was. Yes. It was a way to just, you know, get you into the right, like, groove.
Get ready to do some praising and some blazing on this mushroom.
There were two strains. One strain of this fungus unfortunately caused something that was called St. Anthony's Fire. And this was not, this had nothing to do with hallucinations. This was a kind of gangrene where you could, like, lose your limbs, because it made your blood vessels constrict, get real tight, and cut off blood flow. The only thing really famous about it is that it was called St. Anthony's Fire, because there was a hospital where everybody went to back in the 1100s to get care for it, and it was, the patron saint was St. Anthony. But the more famous strain of this caused more of a central nervous system problem. So it would act on your system kind of like a drug that I'm certain you have never heard of, Riley, called LSD.
What is it again?
LSD. That's good. That's great. You've never heard of LSD.
Oh, you mean ecstasy.
No, it was a little different.
But still.
Similar idea. It's like something that would make you, like a designer drug that makes you feel,
ready to go to church.
Yeah, ready to go to church. It's exactly what LSD does. I don't know. I've never done LSD, full disclosure. I don't know what it does. I mean, I know what it does, but seriously, don't tell mom I've done LSD.
Okay.
I really haven't. So this can cause like hallucinations. It can cause you to have like delusions of things like metamorphosis, you know, thinking that you're turning into something else, like another creature. It can also cause some unpleasant things like seizures and vomiting and diarrhea and blindness and deafness. So when, unfortunately, it can kill you. But this, again, could be responsible for a lot of werewolf myths or witches as well. Because a lot of people ate this bread and they would have these hallucinations and whatnot and kind of talk out of their head. And there are some theories that this may be what was responsible for. Have you heard of the Salem witch trials?
I have.
There's
the witches.
Exactly. There's a theory that this is what was going on with those girls that were accused of being witches, that maybe one had, maybe they had poisoning and so they began to accuse the other one of being a witch.
It's all connected. The werewolf disease, they were hallucinating that they were, but really the people who had this mushroom poisoning were hallucinating that other people were. So everyone thought everyone was a werewolf all the time.
Everybody was pretty confused for a while.
It was a confusing time.
It's now, to be fair, this has been disputed, because why everybody was eating this bread, why did it only affect these young women? I don't know. That seems kind of weird, right? So it could have been something like more of like a mass psychogenic illness, or just a really awful prank has been suggested. Like they accused this girl of being a witch and it was just like a really mean thing that some other girls did.
That's not even like funny.
No.
That's just like, come on. We're all just trying to be cool werewolves together and go to church and feel great.
And do LSD.
Do LSD, go to church, praise it and blaze it.
But there is some thought that throughout history, that because ergot poisoning has been a problem many times throughout the centuries, maybe that's been responsible for some weird behavior that has led people to believe in supernatural type things.
I would have to think somewhere along the way that was responsible for some sort of weird thing sometime.
It sounds like it, right?
Right.
Now, one disease I'm not really going to go into because we did a whole show about it, but just to mention it, is rabies, because I don't think you can talk about like werewolf myths and not mention rabies. Again, it's transmitted by the bite of a dog, which sounds, I mean, right? Like you become a werewolf by getting bitten by a werewolf, right? So like you get bitten by a dog and then you get this awful illness that, among other things that it does to you, also makes you maybe hallucinate. You may kind of lose control of yourself, bite other people as well.
Zombies.
Yes, it's also been tied into zombies. It has. So maybe part of the werewolf origin story comes from observing people with rabies. I don't know. It fits.
Sounds like it could be possible.
For more on rabies, please listen to the Sawbones episode.
Oh, believe me, I already have for my studies from my podcast class.
Good. I'm glad they're teaching you what matters. So, Riley, you probably want to hear about some more spooky diseases.
I do.
And I'm going to tell you about those right after we visit the billing department.
I think staying connected is really one of the best gifts that you can give during this holiday season. And I think Aura Frames is a really good way of doing that. Here's what you do. It's a digital photo frame. You set it up for the intended recipient, or they can set it up themselves, you know, if they're a little bit more tech savvy. But once that's done, you are able to send pictures onto that photo frame from anywhere wirelessly through the Aura app. So imagine this, you set it up for grandma, and then you capture a picture of the kids at the zoo. Maybe there's five dolphins. You're like, holy crap, grandma loves dolphins. She's going to love this picture. Well, she could be seeing it just by uploading it directly to her frame. Even if grandma's already got one, what if she needs a second one in the toilet? Or it doesn't have to be in there. It could be anywhere. But imagine that. You get beautiful designs from Aura range from, like, I just saw the new Carver mat that it's new to me. I got a new Carver mat frame. It's really beautiful. I like all the designs, and I think you will too. Not just for you, though. Maybe it's a gift. But you know what? Grab one for yourself. You're going to be jealous. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver mat frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code Sawbones at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Sawbones. This deal is exclusive to listeners, and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. You've probably heard about HelloFresh in the past. It's a huge meal kit in America, the number one meal kit in America. But this fall, they're serving up even more love. Folks, this isn't the HelloFresh you remember. It's new. HelloFresh has doubled its menu. Now you can choose from 100 options each week, including new seasonal dishes and recipes from around the world. You can also, if you're into veggies, you can eat greener with some new veggie-packed recipes that have two or more veggies per dish. That's, I gotta say, folks, that's ambitious for me. I think a two-veggie meal, I'd be feeling pretty darn good about myself. I really like this new offering from HelloFresh. All these options, you are definitely going to find some stuff that you love. The best way to cook just got better. Go to HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus a free breakfast for life. One per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only, varies by plan. That's HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus free breakfast for life.
So, Riley.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you about porphyria.
About what?
Porphyria is a disorder that comes from the Greek word for purple.
I like purple.
I know. Purple was your nickname, right?
A little bit.
Back in your tennis days?
Back in them days.
How did you get the nickname Purple, by the way?
It was around a very spoopy time of year that's coming up on us quite fast. It was around Halloween. And I went to my first tennis practice wearing an entire purple tracksuit. And my tennis coach called me the one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. And then to shorten it was just Purple.
So he really did you a favor and, like, made you popular among the other kids with that nickname.
So
huh?
Popular. It's like, oh, you're purple? What does that stand for? Oh, you're a monster with one eye and a horn? Okay, bye.
So maybe instead we can call you Porphyria?
I think that's kind of a mouthful.
I think it is. It's also a disease, so, like, a disorder.
So probably not.
A disorder. It is a genetic disorder in which you can't properly make something called heme. Now, you need heme. It's part of hemoglobin. You've probably heard of that.
You need heme.
You need heme for your hemoglobin. We don't really say it that way. It's just hemoglobin. I was highlighting the word heme.
Trying to sound hip.
Oh, I didn't want you to think I actually say hemoglobin.
Hemoglobin.
Hemoglobin, of course, is the part of your red blood cell that carries oxygen. So it's, I mean, pretty important.
I mean, if we didn't have them, we would just all be vampires.
Well, we're getting there. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Sorry.
There are a bunch of different steps in it. There's a pathway. Your body has a lot of different pathways that it goes through to make different substances that you need, right? And there are a bunch of steps in the pathway to create heme. And porphyria actually refers to a kind of a constellation of different disorders that all result from different errors in that pathway. So it depends on where the problem is. Kind of what step that shows how this disease might manifest in a different patient. And some types are more common than others. But in general, the idea is that you don't make enough of the heme that you need to create the hemoglobin molecule to carry oxygen to your body, which is a problem because you don't have that. But then the other thing is that all the stuff, because your pathway doesn't work, there are byproducts that build up.
Oh, no.
Does that make sense? So, like, you're making something, and it turns into one thing, and then you've got to add something else to it to turn into something else, and you got to add something else to it to make it something else. Well, somewhere along that chain, it gets stopped, and it just keeps accumulating that thing where it got stopped.
Okay.
And you don't want all of that toxic byproduct. You need to break it down, and you can't. So then you get sick. Good. Yep. You get sick in a variety of ways. Now, Riley, I know I had asked you this earlier. You did not watch a lot of Scrubs.
I didn't.
Scrubs is one of my favorite medical TV shows. I've mentioned this on the show before, and I think it's one of the most realistic as well. And for all of you Scrubs fans out there, this is the thing where JD and Turk had the urine sample, and they were supposed to figure out what was wrong with the patient, and they accidentally left it outside in the sunlight, and it turned purple, and so then they Googled purple pee, and they diagnosed the patient.
I've never seen that show before in my life.
I guarantee there are at least 10 people right now who are like, oh, I know what she's talking about.
And I
promise.
I'm not one of them.
Okay, well, they matter more than you right now.
Well, okay.
How do you like that?
Bye, everybody.
So, yes, that is one of the interesting, this is true about porphyria. That is one of the kind of the interesting facets about it, is that your urine will turn like a purplish color in the UV light, in the sunlight.
That seems like during the Halloween season, that would be kind of a cool thing to do.
Well, I will tell you that I diagnosed this once as a resident, and I was very excited when I took the urine sample and ran out front of the hospital and stood at the entrance to the hospital holding this cup of pee up to the sun.
And that was the moment that everyone around Sydney realized how cool she was.
I took it. It turned a little purple that day. I took it home and put it in my windowsill. Poor Justin had to deal with
it. You took a person's pee home?
I was learning.
Okay. All right.
I brought it back to show
did
how purple
you,
it got.
Did
I did. To
like
show,
replace it with lemonade.
To show how purple it got. It
I'm
got
sure
really purple.
I'm sure all your cool doctor friends were like, oh my God, Sydney got to take home the pee.
No, actually, everybody kind of made fun of me for it.
Well.
And this is okay. This is okay to joke about because this is very treatable now. Now, thank goodness, we have treatments for this condition. As you can imagine, for a long time, we had no idea what was happening to people unlucky enough to have this, because you really have to understand the complex physiology to understand this disorder. Now, we knew that there was something that was like a collection. We used to call it like a blood liver disorder, dating back to Hippocrates, who described this without knowing what was causing it. That wasn't until like the mid to late 1800s that we started understanding hemoglobin. And then after that we were able to actually define the illness. Famously, King George III had it, who was occasionally, I think, known as like the Mad King, because it can create, among other like many, many different symptoms of this, it can create some hallucinations and delusions and kind of periods of time where you are not yourself, like psychosis.
So it's all cycling back to the werewolves.
Exactly. And actually, we're going to get into a little bit of vampire mythology here, too. It's also been suggested, by the way, that maybe Van Gogh had this.
So this is why there's a whole episode about Doctor Who about Vincent Van Gogh, is because he had this.
Well, sort of. Yeah.
I get it now.
That's one of the best episodes of Doctor
Who. Go watch it right now. Please pause this episode of Sawbones.
Yes.
Go watch that episode and come back and talk to me once you've watched
Vincent.
It.
Vincent. Go watch the episode of Doctor Who, Vincent. It's amazing. Yeah, I would highly recommend it. In addition to some psychiatric problems and central nervous system problems, it can cause a lot of strange symptoms. You can be really sensitive to sunlight.
Vampires.
you can get these blisters on your skin, and as they heal, they grow extra hair.
Werewolves.
You can get other changes in your skin, like sores or discoloration, or specifically like the skin around your mouth can stretch away and even your gums can recede, which will make your teeth appear much more prominent.
So this is also zombies, this is also werewolves, and this is also vampires.
Because it can reveal like your incisors more. Mm-hmm. You can lose parts of your body, your nose, your ears, your eyelids, your fingers. And patients with this may have a little bit of increased sensitivity to foods with a lot of sulfur in them. For example,
garlic.
You got it.
Vampires, boom, case cracked.
So there's been a lot of people who like to think about such things who've suggested that maybe this is the root of contributes to both vampire and werewolf mythology.
It's like a two-in-one deal.
Yeah. Because you got a couple different, you know, people who would suffer from this and not so much now again because it's treatable, but back before we understood it, take on kind of an otherworldly appearance after a while from, you know, the different manifestations. And so maybe this was part of why we had these kinds of strange mythologies.
And that's why we have Edward and Jacob, so you're all welcome.
That's it. They just both have porphyria. We can treat that. Like, they can, I mean, if they want to call me.
But we don't want to anymore.
But let me tell you, if Jacob wants to call me, he can call me anytime. Listen, Justin's not on this show right now. All I'm saying is,
I'm only offended because I'm Team Edward.
What? Are you kidding me?
Sydney, we've had this conversation before.
If that cute werewolf wants to come running over here,
I have a 38-page document that is an argumentative essay on my computer right now that is explaining why Edward is better than Jacob in 38 different ways.
Are you kidding me when he's running around with just his jeans on and his shirt off and he's all outdoorsy? He smells like the woods.
This is not the time to have this conversation.
Okay, I just can't. Okay, we'll get into this later. Our last disorder that I want to talk about is extremely rare, but probably very obviously when I tell you about it, contributed to the werewolf myth throughout history. It's called congenital hypertrichosis universalis.
Say that in human, please.
It's also known as human werewolf syndrome.
Okay, so werewolves.
This is a very rare disorder where you basically grow a lot of hair everywhere. You can have it like a localized manifestation of it, so you just have a lot of hair in one or two places, or you can just have it everywhere. You're just, even your face. Like, just so everywhere.
This is also where, like, Bigfoot came from?
You know, that's really interesting. Maybe. Maybe. Any
it's
kind
just
of...
just a guy who had this disease with really big feet.
Maybe. Because we've known about this for a really long time. People have... when you think about, like, people who were like, sideshow performers, like Jojo the Dog-Faced Man, Lionel the Lion-Faced Man, the Wolf-Man, the Bearded Woman... they may have all, I mean, depending on which sideshow, which person, they may have been suffering from this. We have documented cases of all of those people having this disorder.
Well, that's not very funny.
No, well, no.
It's supposed to be comedy, Sydney.
Well, sorry. The first known case, by the way, that we know of this dates back to 1648, Petrus Gonsalves of the Canary Islands. And the only thing that's, I think, interesting about that is if you look at, like, you can Google him because there are, like, family portraits because several other people in his family had this. And they're these very, like, you know, those, like, old, like, really stoic-looking portraits of people.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Where they're looking just really serious and they're dressed
all old,
like...
portraits ever.
Yes, and they're dressed like very, you know.
Very fancy.
Yeah, very fancy, and they're just kind of standing. And you know they must have stood there for like ever.
Well, and you know those are also the kind of portraits, I have to loop this back to Halloween somehow, that are always in haunted houses.
Yes, and like the eyes are cut out and the eyes are watching you.
Right, like in the Haunted Mansion ride at Disney.
Or Scooby-Doo.
Or Scooby-Doo.
There's a portrait of him like just like this that you can find, except that he's... you know, unfortunately covered in hair.
Maybe that's Bigfoot. Maybe that's just a portrait of Bigfoot. He got so embarrassed, he ran out in the woods, and now he lives forever.
It's definitely Petrus. But it's an interesting point that you bring up, that maybe this also contributes to the myth of Bigfoot. Although, I feel like as I'm saying this, there are probably people listening at home going, Bigfoot is not a myth. Bigfoot is real.
It's not a myth.
I think you just believe in all of this stuff.
Of course, it's Halloween.
Well, Riley, have I satisfied your need for some spoopy content?
Even though spoopy month of the year doesn't start for about another 2 hours, I'm already feeling pretty spoopy.
Well, good. Well, good. I think it's interesting to talk about, you know, of course, like I said, not these things aren't funny in the sense that we think of funny. Luckily, a lot of these things are treatable now.
Right.
And certainly we have a better understanding of things like psychiatric disorders. But it's interesting to think about how these different things that we didn't understand throughout history may have contributed to the movies that we love and will be watching for the next 31 days.
I'm ready. Right?
Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Thank you to the taxpayers for letting us use their song Medicines for our intro. Thank you, Riley.
You're welcome.
For joining me.
On this spoopy episode of Sawbones.
I really enjoyed sharing Take Your Podcaster to Work Day with you.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
We hope you have a very spoopy October. Justin will be back, much to your pleasure or chagrin.
Unless something spoopy happens to him.
Unless Riley decides to kill him because she's enjoying this so much. Justin will be back with us next week. In the meantime, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next week. So until then, I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Riley Smurl.
And don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.